morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Bethany United Methodist Church. As we gather together in God's house this day, let's be thankful for all the blessings God gives us each and every day. Please bow your heads and join me in prayer. Father God, we thank you for loving us so much that you had a plan for our salvation even in the beginning. Please forgive any sin that interferes with our relationships with you. Please let us feel your presence and fill us, Holy Spirit, this day. Father, please soften and prepare our hearts for anything you want us to learn this day, and give us the wisdom and discernment to seek and to learn your will for us, and then help us to share your love with everyone we meet. In Jesus' holy name we pray. And all of God's little kids said, amen. Amen. In Psalm 100, verse 1 through 2, we read this. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. So please stand as you're able, and let's sing My Lighthouse.
One, two, three.
And you can clap if you're able. And I know you are. That's right.
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. Silence, you won't let go. In the questions, your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Oh, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you, oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are my lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you, whoa, my lighthouse. Lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. Far before us, you're the brightest, you will lead us through the storm. Far before us, you're the brightest, you will lead us through the storm. Hey! Far before us, you're the brightest, you will lead us through the storm. Far before us, you're the brightest, you will lead us through the storm. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore.
Amen. God, the creator of the universe, also created you and me. every big star, every planet he created, but he also created little bitty us. He knows each one of us by name. Think about that. He hears our cries of joy and thanksgiving. He also hears our cries of sorrow and pain. All we have to do is turn to him. All we have to do is trust and obey. When Jesus walked among us, he told us how important we are to God. In Matthew 18, 12 through 14, Jesus said, "What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, he is happier about that one sheep than he is about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." This, my friends, is where we find our hope. Amen? Not one of us is unworthy of him seeking us out. All we have to do is trust him and turn to him and love him and believe in his promises. He is always that close. Just a word. Just if you don't know what to say, just cry out, "Jesus, help me." And he's there. He is our living hope.
Great a chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness soared through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. The morning that sealed the promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise, your buried body. The roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. God, you are my living hope.
Oh, amen and amen. Good morning. It's good to see all of you. I have a question. Do you know where a bird lives?
Tree.
And what's in the tree where the bird lives? A nest. It lives in a nest in a tree. What about a spider? Where does a spider live?
A web.
A web, yeah. A spider lives in a web. What about a bear?
A den.
Yeah. Yeah, you good. You know all this stuff. Where does a pig live?
In a mud pit.
In a mud pit, yeah. In a pen, in a sty. Yeah. Does anybody ever say your room looks like a pigsty? Maybe. Where does a bee live? Do you know where a bee lives?
Beehive.
A beehive, yeah, a honeycomb, that's right. What about a horse?
Stable.
A stable, yeah, a stable or a barn.
What about a fish?
In the sea.
In the sea, yeah. In the ocean, in the sea, maybe in a river. Well, where do you live?
In a house.
In a house, yeah. You guys live in a house. Well, you know, everything has a home. God made everything so that it had a home, a place to live. But, you know, you have a home away from home. You have a heavenly home, too. So you live in a house, and one day we all get to live together with God, like a home away from home. And it's perfect. The roof doesn't leak. The floor doesn't creak. If there's bathrooms, the bathrooms are immaculate. It's a beautiful home. So remember that. You have a great home here, but you have a wonderful home for another time. Let's pray. Dear God, we give you thanks that you give everything a home and that you give us a heavenly home. Lord, help us to love one another so that we can be prepared to meet you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. Thank you, guys, and you can go to Children's Church.
Today's scripture lesson comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 through 17. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are always well known to your consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, divine creator, we give you thanks for these words that come to us from the Apostle Paul, and I ask that you would help us to see where it is you are calling us, where you are trying to touch our lives this day. Be with us in the meditations of our hearts. Help us to understand your claim upon us this day. Amen. Do you remember that moment in The Wizard of Oz when Glinda the Good Witch asked Dorothy to repeat after her, "There's no place like home, there's no place like home, there's no place like home." And afterward she wakes up and she's in her bedroom with her Auntie Em beside her. And remember that before she ended up in the Land of Oz, she was trying to run away from home with her dog Toto. But after her adventures there, she declares to her Auntie Em that she'll never leave her home again. But what is home? Robert Louis Stevenson wrote, "Home is the sailor home from the sea and the hunter home from the hill." And some people say home is where you hang your hat. And Robert Frost wrote in his poem, The Death of the Hired Man, that home is a place where, when you go there, they have to take you in. When I was around 10 years old and we were getting set to move for what would have been my fifth time, I began to dream of having a forever home, a place where I could stay and put down roots and never have to move again. And it would be filled with love. Well, some people might say I have not gained that forever home yet. I am an itinerant minister, and actually, I started moving less when I became an itinerant minister, but the house that I call home has always been filled with love. The next house that my parents moved into was their forever home. Well, they lived out the rest of their lives there, but for me, and there was a lot of reasons why there was a lot of anxiety and anger and all kinds of things roiling around for me, I thought of home as my grandparents' farm. Because for me, that was a place of unconditional love, a place of peace. The word home summons up probably something for each of us. Something different for each of us, a rich and complex feeling that has worked to shape us and our identity. Ideally, home is a place where you feel you belong, and that in some sense belongs to you. It's not so much ownership as belonging, and hopefully it's a place that gives you a sense of well-being. Frederick Buechner wrote, "To think about home eventually leads you to think back to your childhood home, the place where your life started, the place that off and on throughout your life you keep going back to, if only in dreams and memories, and that is apt to determine the kind of place, perhaps a place inside yourself, that you spend the rest of your life searching for, even if you are not aware that you are searching." And he goes on to write, "I suspect that those who as children never had such a place in actuality had instead some kind of dreams of such a home, which for them played an equally crucial part as a home built with bricks and mortar." That dream of a home. And I think that Paul, in some ways, and I will say, Paul is not the most direct person, but in a way, he is saying that God has prepared a home for us. He says he's at home in his body, but away from God, and he would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Paul, another itinerant, someone who moved around, someone who was on the move. But he also points out that whether we are living in the body or whether we are at home with God, we have something that is equally important, that we have faith, and that he knows that he has a mission. He has something he's been called to do. And so whether he is at home in the body or at home with the Lord, he has important work to do. And with Paul, sometimes you have to read between the lines. In 2 Corinthians, we know things have happened. You know, 1 Corinthians, it's very upbeat. It's very positive. He's giving instruction to Corinthians. Something happens between 1 Corinthians and the second letter to the Corinthians. He describes his experiences in 2 Corinthians 1 as something that where he was so utterly, unbearably crushed that he despaired of life itself. He says, "Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death so that we would rely not on ourselves but on God who raises the dead." Something has happened. We know that something has probably happened within the community, that he went there and he visited and there was some sort of quarrel or some sort of disruption that happened. And so Paul might prefer to be at home with the Lord rather than dealing with some people who have gotten sort of cantankerous and difficult. But he knows he has a mission. He knows he has something he is supposed to do. He's got a calling. God has a claim on him, and he needs to tell them about Jesus Christ, the one who died for them. Reverend George Buttrick was a minister at Madison Avenue Presbyterian Church in the 50s, and in a sermon he told one Sunday, he relayed, he said that he was leaving the previous Sunday to go back to his apartment where he lived, and he happened to hear somebody on the steps of the church ask someone else, "Are you going home for Christmas?" And that's not an unusual sort of phrase to hear around Christmas time. Are you going home for Christmas? Are you going home? Are you going home for Christmas? But then he pointed out that it was just a few days before Christmas, and he said, "Are you going home? Will you visit the stable, that manger in Bethlehem, where even the oxen kneel?" This is one part of the forever home that God prepares for us. We are at home in Jesus Christ if we accept God's grace. And then there is that home not built with human hands that waits for us. But there's a lot of work in between. And so Paul finds himself in sort of an in-between situation with the people of Corinth. He's in between his visits. He went to see them. It didn't go well. He left again. And now he's telling them that he wants to come back. He's trying to get in their good graces again, and he's reminding them that each builder must choose with care how to build, and the best foundation is laid on Jesus Christ. We live in an in-between time, right? For our teachers and students, they have entered the in-between time. It is post-graduation for most of them, and summer, it's that in-between time. And so Paul is entreating in his in-between time that they let them, the people of Corinth will let him be an ambassador. And he wants a message, he wants to reconcile with them and urges the people to be reconciled with God. And so he believes that the people are perhaps unaware that God doesn't have an issue with them, that they have been reconciled as we have been reconciled. We are called to, well, whatever we do, we have a home. I was thinking about Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Companion, one of his monologues. He talks about his school days in rural Minnesota and how each farm child was assigned a storm home in town, a family who'd offered to let a child stay the night in case of a blizzard, in case they couldn't get home. And so each child who lived out in the rural area got a little slip of paper with the name of his storm family on it. And so when Garrison Keillor got the name of his family, he walked by the house and he fantasized about the family, the Cloeckle family, whom he'd never met. And he looked at the home and he thought of, there must be a kindly old couple living in that home, the kind of home where if a child was lost in the forest and they came upon it, they knew their story would have a happy ending. It looked like that kind of home. And though, he says, my family might have wondered about a Protestant child being assigned to a Catholic family's home, maybe enough to wonder if the Pope had ordered them to take in a little Protestant child during blizzards and make them say the rosary for their supper, Garrison Keillor imagined that the Cloeckles had personally chosen him as their storm child, that they said, yes, we want that skinny boy with the big glasses right there. Well, no blizzards came during that school year. All the storms were conveniently scheduled for weekends and evenings, and so he never stayed with his storm family. But they were in his thoughts, because blizzards aren't the only storms that happened. And they're not the worst storms by any means. And so he could imagine that if the worst should happen, he could go to his storm family. He could go to the Cloecles and knock on their door and say, "Hello, I'm your storm child." And Mrs. Cloecle would say, "Oh, I know. I was wondering when you'd come. It's good to see you. How would you like a hot chocolate and an oatmeal cookie?" And we'd sit at the table and say, "Looks like a storm is going to get here at last." "Yes, terrible storm. They say it's going to get worse before it stops. I just pray for anyone who's out in this." "Yes, but we're so glad to have you. I can't tell you. Carl, come down and see who's here. Is it the storm child?" "Yes, himself in the flesh." We have a storm home. For me, church has been a storm home. We have a home in heaven as well. It's interesting, in Robert Frost's poem, the famous line is, "Home is a place where when you go there, they have to take you in." And then the next line is, "I should have called it something you somehow haven't to deserve." I don't know that I deserve a home like a home in heaven, but I like to think that there is a home that's waiting for me, and above the door frame it says, "Grace." And that should be enough to know that God welcomes us into that home. And though we haven't the ability to go and visit that heavenly home and come back to earth, we can take comfort that in this place, through Jesus Christ, God provides a storm home for us. It waits for us, and all we need to do is walk through the door and feel the love and know we are home. Amen. Well, I am so thankful for everyone who makes this service happen, for everyone who is here, for the love that you show one another. I will say that if you don't want to hug someone, that's okay too. We're not all in that place, but yes, it's good to see how excited you are to see one another after our time apart. So thankful and grateful that you are here. Let us pray. Dear God, I thank you for all of those who have gathered here. I thank you for all of those who make this service possible. Lord, bless the gifts that have been given. Bless the givers, and help us to use it so that we might build your kingdom here on earth, so that others might know they have a home. Amen. Well, I have a couple of announcements I want to share with you. So it's looking for donations for cans and kits, and actually they're due today, but also they are looking for volunteers at Grottoes United Methodist Church on June 19th from 1:45 to 4:15 to receive kits and cans for conference. So they're looking for folks to take in the cans. So if you are available, let me know and we'll get you hooked up with the right people. And annual conference is this coming up week. It starts with a retirement service that will be broadcast on Thursday at 6:30. You can stream that from the VAUMC website. And then annual conference will be June 18th and 19th. And I will actually be in Richmond. It's virtual. You can watch it. This year, I am assistant annual conference secretary, so I will be there for those 2 days. And we are looking for volunteers for Children's Church. You can tell it's a popular thing. We have kids coming, so we need folks to do that, and the lesson is planned out for you. And sadly, next Sunday is my last Sunday with you all. And so we are having cupcakes after church. So please come and be part of that. Do we have other announcements? Well, I had mentioned Gail Thornberry and the minister who has COVID. She has somehow, they didn't think she had more than 24 to 48 hours. Well, she's managed to hang on this long, but they were hoping to send her to UVA, and she never became stable enough for that to happen. So continue to pray for Gail and her family for whatever happens next. Do we have any other prayer concerns? Yes. All right, we will put Johnny on the prayer chain, and I know needing help is a big change for him, so we'll definitely keep him in our prayers. Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we come before you this morning, we are thankful that you hear our prayers. And we ask that you turn our hearts and minds to the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, lead us through our days. Help us to grow in faith. Nurture our hearts so that we may love more perfectly, love one another, and love you more completely. Lord, this morning, we pray for those around the world who are still in the midst of dealing with the pandemic, who are not seeing their infection rates go down. We pray for them. Lord, we pray for all of our students who are going on to new things and ask that you be with them and guide them as they look towards new horizons. Be with them. Gracious God, we pray for those who are dealing with illness and with the infirmity of age. We ask that you pour out healing upon them. And we pray for those who have lost loved ones. We ask that you give us all hope in the power of the resurrection to bring new life out of brokenness, to bring new life in the here and now. Lord, you prepare a heavenly home for us, but help us also to build your kingdom here on earth so that more and more people might know that they have a Father in heaven who loves them. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. And now let us pray together the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And let us stand as we're able, and we're going to sing I'll Fly Away. So please.
I expect to see some hands put together out there. Come on.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Life is all fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. just a few more weary days and then fly away to a land where joy shall never end.
Go forth in the love of God, knowing that is your true home. Go forth in that complete and devoted love. Amen.